what it means. We read you the arrest report from Vic Burley over the weekend, who, if you missed it, he has been arrested. Dabo Swinney's, we probably should read Dabo's statement on this. It was pretty direct, I'll say that. It was three sentences. I've never heard Dabo give any opening response to anything that was only three sentences. Again, that's how you know he's pissed. Earlier today, I was made aware of defensive tackle Vic Burley's arrest by the Clemson University Police Department for disorderly conduct early Saturday morning. I've made the decision to suspend Vic from our football team indefinitely. We are extremely disappointed by his actions and decisions. End quote. This is the thing that's in my brain, okay? Every single player on this team, I think this is actually where fans sit on this. After last year, you lost six games. You had nine guys go to the NFL. And the idea was that though there was an air of entitlement and complacency that permeated. And maybe it impacted locker room dynamics. We probably will not ever know the full extent of what happened last year. Bad offense, you know, all that stuff. Every single member of this team has a choice to be a part of the solution to that. Many of them have appeared to be part of the solution. It does seem that Dabo Swinney has been particularly annoyed by the chronically yellow-jerseyed this August. Not just Vic Burley, Jay Haynes has sort of... Dabo's never, like, actually rolled his eyes, but there have been some answers to questions where he verbally eye rolls that Haynes is not out there, that Burley's not out there.
You know, in Haynes' case, though, he had a verified injury that there's nothing he could do to prevent. And then he was re-injured, if I'm not mistaken, last year, like in the rehab process. So I'm frustrated. I'm sure that the head coach is frustrated. But that feels a little different than some of the, you know, these little nagging things that seem to continue to happen to some players. And they're not always the player's fault. In fact, many times I would argue they're probably not. But the one thing that the head coach can see, and I'm going to make an assumption here. If I'm wrong, I apologize to Vic Burley. The coach also sees the level of dedication to get healthy, to do the right thing. I'm going to assume that would include not drinking and smoking, showing up on time to things. I would say if I'm a head coach and I see you doing everything that you can and you're still not on the field, I am frustrated. But I'm going to extend some grace because I see you trying. It does not sound like, and maybe I'm wrong in my assumption, it does not sound like Vic Burley has always done that.
That's right. And again, I don't know that. No one has told me that directly, but it is the insinuation that's out there.
Right.
And it is probably what we're supposed to draw from Dabo Swinney's public comments. And this is what I think fans are saying here. Either be part of the solution or get out. This is the part of being a college athlete in 2026 that is different. Till graduation do us part is great when money's not involved. Now, money's involved. So you either pay somebody who essentially you've been subsidizing medical and rehab for 3 years. You either pay that guy to try again or you go get somebody else. You know what actually hurts the case for Vic Burley here is the Courtney Kelly edition where he automatically comes in hungry as all get out to prove himself and is probably the best defensive tackle in spring and he gets hurt. Andy Berberia comes in with his hair on fire trying to prove himself. Marcus Strong comes in as a guy who was buried on the depth chart of Oklahoma, tries to prove himself. And so you've got three examples of guys who came in immediately with an axe to grind, came in immediately with a chip on their shoulders in your position group, and you are still hurt and unavailable. Out of shape. Didn't show up ready to be a part of the solution. That's my frustration. And so if this is what is going to happen, then you're going to have more issues like last year. If this is in your program, you are playing a dangerous game with the dynamics. If you're serious about winning, you can't do this. Texter says this is Peanut. Says the following. He was 100% dumb for doing this, but come on, man. We can't banish him for that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying banish him for all of it. I'm saying there are different standards that people have to be held to now because money is involved. And because the stakes are really high. It's all of it. And when I say all of it, I'm certain that I don't know all of it. But it has got to be frustrating from these coaches to watch a highly regarded, expensive player make these types of decisions. Well, you're, like I said, you're checking a lot of boxes in that arrest report. There's a lot of arrestable things in there. You make those types of decisions as somebody who already is on thin ice. That is just not, that's not going to work. That is not a winning mentality in your program if that's going to happen. So I would expect there to be some accountability. I don't know. They're going to kick him off. I don't know. Heck, you got to have some defensive tackles to face LSU. I mean, it could be just pragmatic. That's one thing that fans have been saying, like, who's going to play tackle against LSU? I don't think Vic Burley's playing against LSU. I'll tell you that. They're going to figure it out without him. I think if it goes well, I say, let's keep doing that. You kind of been having to figure out how to win without Vic Burley from the time he got here, honestly. And after a year where you kind of felt like you were having to figure out how to win without your defensive tackles, it's something that fans are used to. Let's go to Bart, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. You want to join us on the Pratt & Andrey Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Bart.
Hey, boys. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Hope you're doing well.
I guess it's afternoon now. Quick question, guys. Just wanted to ask, get your opinion. So with this LSU thing and the new tight end, I've seen Twitter blowing up about it. My question for you is, so if LSU goes on to win a national championship, let's say, Lord forbid, it ends up happening, LSU wins a national championship, with all these weird rules that they're exploiting, do you put an asterisk next to that national championship, kind of like we did with Michigan when they cheated for that full year? Would this be considered like cheating? I'll hang up and listen, boys. Appreciate your work.
Thanks very much, Bart. Appreciate the phone call. What he's talking about is, I saw a tweet during the break, and it said, in the last 12 hours, the Browns have named Deshaun Watson their starting quarterback and had a tight end sign with LSU. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This is the this is the story that you've got a tight end in camp for the Cleveland Browns that signed with LSU. Well, he hasn't technically signed yet. They haven't announced it yet that I've seen, but he has an agreement in principle if he gets passes through waivers in the NFL,
right,
that he's going to sign with LSU. It is a tight end that played at Ole Miss last year and had over 600 receiving yards, okay?
He was second-team all-SEC.
Wright.
He's a – I believe he started at Virginia Tech, then went Ole Miss, then went Cleveland Browns, now going LSU. That is what his – that's the way his resume will read.
Ben, I – I mean, there's a lot –
I was watching a video of him in pregame with the Browns running routes. So like, oh, yeah, we got to scout the new LSU tight end. Well, here he is in Cleveland Brown camp running routes. What are we doing?
You know, Texter breaks up. Truck Bet Bar in Sumter says LSU apparently tampered with him 2 weeks ago. That if he was not released by the Browns, he already has an agreement to go to LSU. We would call that tampering. That Lane Kiffin legitimately initiated a conversation, or we don't know he initiated, but he entertained a conversation with this guy while he's at camp with the Cleveland Browns.
Did I? Now, you know, keep in mind, Todd Monken is his coach at the with the Browns. Did I dream this, that Monken at some point said something like, well, that explains why Kiffin was calling me?
Yes.
Did he say that?
Yes. Yes, he did. It's this is remarkable. This is absolutely remarkable. And listen, this is a really good player. This is a really good player. But I was reading yesterday. I was reading yesterday a quote from Rhett Lashley. And Rhett Lashley said that courts are ruining college football, to which I responded, no. A court can't make Lane Kiffin do this. Courts allow you to do things. And there are lots of things that a court will allow people to do in any and all circumstances. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Courts will allow you to do a lot of things. It is up to you as a guardian of your ecosystem to decide whether those things are good or bad for your ecosystem. No court. And we're going to make the courts the boogeyman here. And you know what? I think the courts are being silly. I think this is absolute silliness. But maybe the law is legitimately clear on this. Maybe there are legitimate legal reasons why these things are happening. These horrible, terrible, no good, very bad rulings that are very bad for college athletics. Maybe that's why this is happening. But Ben, none of that makes a coach take advantage of it. You said you want all of this. You want all of this to happen.
Oh, listen, make no mistake about it. You can go two different directions with this, I suppose three. This is a great thing for college football. I said it Thursday. I'm going to say it again. We need more of this. We need more headlines. We need more head scratchers. We need everybody that in national radio, everybody in local radio, every fan base outraged by this. We need more lunacy because we are not to a point yet where anyone with authority is willing to step up and do the right thing and fix this crap. I'm dead serious when I say this. We need more of this. And listen, we're going to get more this week. I promise you, we're going to get more this week. NFL teams started with 90 to 100 players in camp. They have to be to 53 by August 30th. So you're going to have 1,100 roughly players, not counting practice squads, roughly 1,100 players cut if they haven't already been. You're going to have 1,100 players now out of a job. There'll be quite a few of those guys will have, you know, practice squads and that kind of stuff or get claimed off of waivers. But if they get claimed off of waivers, somebody else is getting cut. There's more Daquan Wrights out there. I mean, this is happening this week. And listen, Quok, I don't think this is the last player LSU will sign.
No, because Lane Kiffin doesn't care at all about the good of college football. We know that. We've known that for years.
Love him or hate him, and this is you hate him in this situation. He saw this coming, which is why he called Todd Monken 2 weeks ago. He saw this coming. There are more players who are going to be signed this week. We are not done with the crazy.
I hate this so much, but you are right, actually. In fact, there's a conspiracy theory that the NCAA is more along your lines that I've heard a couple people just sort of whisper about, that the NCAA wants the chaos and more and more and more so that Congress will get off its duff in September and actually vote on the bill.
Listen, if I'm the NCAA, I'm not going to keep paying legal fees to fight things that I already know I'm going to lose. Why would I do that? That's dumb. Yeah, at this point, back off even further than they already have. Don't object to any of this. I'm serious. We're already so screwed on this whole football thing. Don't object to this. Allow it to happen. Now don't like it. Man, I am rooting for a dozen players to come back to college and be impactful for their teams.
It's just self-evidently bad, right? I mean, it is self-evidently bad.
Yes.
And backwards that this is happening.
But it's not self-evident enough for anyone to pay attention to this. That matters.
Let's take a break. We got a caller on hold. We'll get you on the other side. Be patient with us. More of this conversation as Hour 2 continues after this.
Food, fun, and a whole lot of football.
The Roar's 2026 Bud Light College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley.
August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m.
Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
Grams brought to you by our friends at Breeze Airways. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great, great airline. It began service in May 2021. For the last 4 years, Travel and Leisure magazine has awarded it world's best. It's best seat comfort in North America in June 2024. They've got all kinds of awards like that. More than 170 year-round and seasonal nonstop routes, 60-plus cities, 30 states, including out of GSP, where they have 8 different flights nonstop: Orlando, Tampa, Fort Myers, Providence, Hartford, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Fort Lauderdale. They have streaming quality Wi-Fi, which is phenomenal. They have snacks and beverages for purchase. It's free when you upgrade to the Ascent section, which is essentially first class. And then you can upgrade your ticket bundle to get amenities like seating, baggage, that sort of stuff. But the price point, the entry point, is significantly lower than the big boys, but your experience is going to be fantastic. For now, go to the website to see flights available and how you can make Breeze your next airline at breezeairways.com.
We got your summer covered.
Summer sports station.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
On September 2nd, DraftKings game day arrives with massive deals, exclusive deals, and an all-day celebration built for sports fans. All roads lead to game day. The DraftKings sports app is now live in all 50 states. That means South Carolina, from Texas to California to Florida. Even fan in on the excitement. One app, every sport, all 50 states. DraftKings game day is yours. Remember the date, September 2nd. DraftKings game day is the kickoff of the new season, a new era, and the biggest day in sports history. Get ready to celebrate. New DraftKings customers, sign up with the code 1055THEROAR. Spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. That's code 1055THEROAR. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Up and trading offered by DraftKings Predictions, a CFTC registered introducing broker. Trading involves risk of loss. Market availability varies. Eligibility restrictions apply. $50 every 7 days via click to claim. Issued in non-withdrawable prediction dollars that expire in 1 year. Ends August 23rd. Terms, dkng.co/predictions promo. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
Milo's, family made since 1946 and the number one selling refrigerated tea in America, is hiring logistics technicians right now in Spartanburg. Newsweek named Milo's one of America's most loved workplaces. As a Milo's associate, you'll get 100% employer paid medical premiums, real room to grow, and a people first culture founded on family values. If you're ready for more than just a job, visit readyscjobs.com. That's readyscjobs.com. Milo's is hiring now.
Your creativity has a place and a future. At Tri-County Technical College, the Media Arts Production Program teaches you how to create professional video, audio, and digital content for today's fast-moving media world. From filming and editing to podcasting and social media, you'll build the skills employees are looking for. Turn your passion into a career you love. Visit tctc.edu/MAP and get started today.
Recurring drain issues could be more than a clog. It could be your sewer line. Older homes, especially in established neighborhoods with big trees, often have failing pipes underground. The good news? There's a faster, more cost-effective solution with no digging. With One Tom Plumber's one-day sewer line repair, replacement, or lining, you can fix the problem before it becomes a disaster. Right now, get a free line inspection and don't wait for a sewer backup. Call One Tom Plumber. The name is the number one, Tom Plumber.
Summertime presents the perfect opportunity to get creative on your grill and in the kitchen when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, along with fresh, locally grown fruits and vegetables grown right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, find what you need at your local Ingles. If you're on the way to a beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel before you hit the road. Save on prescriptions at your Ingles Pharmacy. If you're having a reunion or a family get-together, let the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. And remember that Ingles Floral Department for beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Savor the taste of summer at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet relies on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
We get it.
Work gets in the way sometimes. But that doesn't mean you have to miss your favorite show.
Tune in on the RoarFM.com
and the Roar app
to catch every hour of Out of Bounds.
Recorded for whenever you need it.
All right, this is a really unfortunate rejoin that I just randomly selected entitled Pour Me a Drink.
Just one, Ben.
Bad day for that. What
Not
an idiot
six
I am.
Or 12. Just one. By the way,
is there a song about pour me a drink and let me sleep in my car on campus for 4 hours with the engine running? That sounds like a country song, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Somebody, Luke Combs, man, get on that.
This is where I'll just remind everyone of the hot-selling Marquette volleyball jersey. The girl who's asking is Beers, the number is six.
Six Beers.
Six Beers. Great-selling jersey.
It's the number one NIL jersey right now.
Hey, let me ask you this one, okay? Let me ask you this one. Drippy Tiger gets in, says this. Deshaun Watson still has another year of eligibility. What is the difference in kind between if Deshaun Watson wanted to do this, if the Browns cut him today, which they're not, they're going to ride him into the game on a white horse, I believe, for the first game. What is the difference between that and what Daquan Wright is doing? Daquan Wright is an NFL player. He signed an NFL contract, not as a camp invite, which the LSU fans will try to equivocate something that a former Texas player did where he got a couple camp invites and wasn't let on the team, and now he's back at Texas. That is not the same thing as Daquan Wright going through waivers with eligibility remaining and coming back. What is the difference between that and Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence coming back? You can't actually make an argument other than, well, it's because he's worse at football. You can't actually make an argument from an eligibility standpoint in college why Daquan Wright gets to do that. But if Deshaun Watson decided to do it, there would be 100,000 people screaming up in arms that you can't do that.
Yeah, Bart says Christian Wilkins doesn't have a team. There you go.
Honestly, Ben Milstead, light it on fire. Ben Milstead's the Joker right now. Light it on fire. Some people just like to watch the world burn. That's Ben Milstead. Christian Wilkins, come back. You know the system. Play defensive tackle. Take up some space for a little while. Why don't you? Honestly, just for the LSU game would be glorious. Just stick it to Kiffin. Just hire a bunch of NFL guys just for the LSU game and then let them walk.
By the way, you mentioned Batman. You'd be proud of me. I paid money and went and saw Spider-Man Friday night.
How was it?
It was good.
It was nice.
Not my cup of tea, but it was entertaining. It was pretty good.
The Spider-Man, I call them Spider-Man. They're a little hit or miss sometimes. So I'm glad that one was good. I mean, everybody's talking about think about the absurdity of if we said Christian Wilkins can come play. Think about how absurd that is. He's played. It's over. Deshaun Watson, think about Deshaun Watson come back and play. It's over. There is no difference. You cannot make a reasonable argument that Daquan Wright is different from Deshaun Watson. You can't make that argument. That's why Daquan Wright shouldn't be allowed to come back and play. Or they should all be allowed to come back and play. Just overload the system. That's why this is bad. Now, Chancey says this, and this is how they get you. Chancey, we love you. This is how they get you, though. I'm telling you. This is how they get you. He says, if the 5-5 rule had been applied before the end of the season, Wright would just be a fifth year. From the perspective of competition, it doesn't feel that crazy. No, you're right. It doesn't feel that crazy. But not every fifth year got to play. The NCAA said all the fifth years can't play, because can you imagine the chaos if all the fifth years got to play? We said, we don't even know how you would do that for the fifth years. So now it's just the fifth years who can find a coach with no scruples who will just let you play. That's the bottom line. That's how they get you. Because now you're in a compromising spot, Chancey, where you're going, well, it's not really that bad. Not really the worst. I mean, you know, if you think about it, Daquan Wright was a professional football player yesterday. He made his choice to play professional football this season. Not last year, and he got hurt, and he's had a change of heart, and he's going back to get his master's. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who yesterday was on an NFL field practice area. It's 2 days ago. Was on an NFL field practicing. And today he is looking to sign with LSU and play college football again.
Here's maybe a crazier thing. He has to pass waivers, which means that other teams don't pick him up. Is Wright hoping that no – is he in a situation where he's actually hoping he doesn't get signed?
Probably. He'll make more money at LSU.
Yeah, I was looking, you know, one texter a while ago said, and Ren, we're coming to you, I promise. Texter said he hasn't gotten an NFL game check yet. You talking about differences. And, yeah, that is a difference. However, we keep having differences, and it keeps getting overridden anyway. Like, the difference was, well, you left school. You signed with an agent. You signed with an NFL team. Like, none of those – we've already keep moving the goalpost to where the acceptable cutoff is. Why not keep moving it? Wright, when he signed with Cleveland, he signed a three-year, $3.125 million contract, but only $50,000 of that was guaranteed. He was going to make $885,000 this year if he made the Browns squad. So, like, in this situation, it's not a lot of money relative to what he could have made in college, but he did make – I mean, he received a $50,000 bonus. He received a paycheck from the Cleveland Browns for $50,000. He did.
And that's different. That is different from these other guys that got camp invites. Let's go to Ren, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Ren.
What's going on, Bob?
You're doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man. Hey, so I just tuned in right when y'all were talking about the whole leaving the NFL, coming back to college for a year. I'm against that. But, so my question is to you, it's like, so, you know, they've already entered the draft point. Wherever they got drafted, they got drafted. They come back to college for a year and play. They have a crazy year. Can they re-enter the draft again? Or is it they can't go back with the NFL because they left the NFL to come back to college for that?
That's an interesting question. You know, I've not really thought about that, Ren. I would assume that they would just go into the free agent pool. Like, I don't think you can be de-drafted. I don't think you can be undrafted. Like, you went through the draft process. Your rights are either owned or not owned. But if you're a free agent, I would imagine that you can just be signed by anybody. It's sort of like if you go through the process and you sign with the CFL, and you go and, you know, you decide you want to play in the NFL, they can just sign you as a free agent.
Yeah. And And I just honestly, my opinion, I don't think Dabo is a great player.
Ren, you broke up on us right there, buddy. I'm going to let you run. I appreciate the phone call.
The NFL probably does not have a clear rule on this because they've never had to consider someone going back to college.
Yeah, why would you?
What you're saying is correct. You would normally, for the next year, you're just a free agent, and you see guys who've gotten cut will come back. You know, like a player gets cut and they come back to Clemson the next year for their pro day. You've seen that before, just so they can be in front of scouts again. But they would not. They wouldn't have gone back into the draft again.
Right. I think his rights are basically nobody's. That he's a free agent now in the NFL, and you know, honestly, who's to say he can't play college again? Why not try a sixth year? Who's to say? If we're gonna let fifth, if we said that the 2022 class can't do the fifth year thing, then why can they not do the sixth year thing? Every time, listen, if we're talking about order and chaos, every single time we make a rule for order, even if it disadvantages some people who, by the way, did not have a reasonable expectation that they would be playing 5 years. Daquan Wright did not have. People talk about, oh, they had this opportunity taken away from them. No, they didn't. They never had it. They never had a reasonable expectation that they would be able to play 5 years. Nobody lost anything with the 22 class. No one. These new class, the 23 class and above, gained something. The 22 class didn't lose anything. They never had it. Daquan Wright's going to argue, and his lawyers are going to argue, and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, or whatever, they're going to argue that he actually lost something that he never had. No reasonable expectation for a fifth year. And yet, here we have judges giving fifth years opportunities. Here we have colleges freely signing guys to fifth years, even though we were told that the order was 23 yes, 22 no. If you think there's going to be any order here, in any semblance of order, I'm about to just give up and throw in the towel. I'm looking at Ryan Day. Here's a quote from Ryan Day on three today. He's asked about this. He says, quote, "I told myself I would stop saying this is crazy, so I'm not going to say that. But to think that we're in a situation where we're this late in the season and our rosters are not locked in is frustrating at the very least. But I'm not going to sit here and keep saying that. So what does that mean for us? That's the bottom line. Well, I think, in my opinion, the conferences have to decide if there's a point where their rosters have to be locked in." By the way, before I finish that quote, technically there's an interconference transfer here that at one point was considered it was like not a thing in the SEC, but half a lane given rosters from Ole Miss. I guess we don't. Is that not a thing anymore? I don't know.
Sankey reiterated that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he reminded everybody publicly that of the interconference transfers, and they're like, yeah, okay.
Okay, great. So Day continues, "Well, I think, in my opinion, the conferences have to decide if there's a point where their rosters have to be locked in, because once some of these guys become available, adding them to the roster is going to provide advantage for certain teams. So we're certainly having conversations. I've had conversations with Tony Petitti about this." That's the Big Ten commissioner. "I know he's all over and trying to do what's best for the conference. But we also, if there are teams that have some players out there who are cut from NFL rosters that are going to be on other teams, we have to at least consider it and look at it." That's what Ryan Day is saying. "Do I like anything about it? Absolutely not. But we got to do what's right for Ohio State. So it's sort of a day-to-day thing right now. And like anything, we're just going to try to adapt. But I think we would all agree, maybe not everybody, but that there has to be a certain point where your roster gets locked in," end quote. Ryan Day is saying what every coach is thinking right now. Every staff meeting right now includes something like that. Everyone hates this, except maybe Lane Kiffin and two other people. Everyone hates this. I think Lane loves this. Do you think Lane loves this?
I don't think he loves the negativity, but he likes winning more than he likes... Then he hates that.
I think he likes being on edgy, you know. I think he likes being out there. But Ryan Day is not out there. Ohio State is a buttoned up operation. He's talking about getting rosters locked. And he's saying, if Ohio State is saying we have to look at this, then that's an acknowledgement that there is an advantage to be gained by this, that LSU is trying to gain an advantage by this. Now, the other thing, and we'll take a break on this, the other thing that I absolutely loathe about this is that you could feel bad for LSU if there was some position of need, but this is the most expensive roster in college football that didn't have a need at tight end. That's who is breaking the seal on this. It's not Clemson's defensive tackle room where they're down 17 people.
Yeah, this isn't even an act of desperation. You're choosing to bring on this smoke for something that you really don't even need. Now, Wright makes you better. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but they already have a great tight end.
Let's talk about it on the other side. 654 Roar is the number. Hour two of the program continues right after this.
Our hosts listen to themselves talk all day long.
Make your thoughts known
and vote on all of our Ingles poll questions. Find them in the poll section on our website
at theroarfm.com.
The Roar.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
If you're in the service industry and you drive around in your vehicle all day, people see you roofing, HVAC, pressure washing, electrical, that kind of thing, you need to call Katazoom, K-A-T-A-Z-O-O-M. Check them out online, katazoom.com. They do full custom vehicle wraps. They will design that for you. They will install it. They'll even tell you how to maintain it. They do yard signs. They do ceramic coating, window tinting to those vehicles. In your business or your home, for that matter, they can do wall murals, interior, any kind of interior corporate branding that you might need. Whatever the case might be, if you need it printed in a promotional fashion, a good chance Katazoom can do that for you. Nobody in the business better than Katazoom. Located here in Greer, they can get to you easily here in the upstate, and they're going to do a top-notch job as they have done for us for well over a decade. It's Katazoom, K-A-T-A-Z-O-O-M.
Sizzling scores all summer long.
And he makes the catch!
The Roar.
While we know that plastic vapor seals and dehumidification machines can do a tremendous job protecting the wood in your home, they are not designed to stop enormous amounts.
William Quagamush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us. 654 Roar is the number, 654-7627. If you'd like to get in on the program, on the Pratt Andrew Lars phone line, Adams Gurfing text line as well. Big week here at the station. College football kickoff show presented by Bud Light, 5 to 8 on Thursday. Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley. Make sure you get there. Get a seat. We'll be inside. There's plenty of outside seating too, and you'll have access to be able to hear us. There's a good, like, you can sort of wander in and out. It's a nice area there. And we look forward to interacting with all of you on Thursday.
Southern Weaving Food Hall has an outdoor, I want to say it was like Easley's Got Talent or something like that going on after us. It'll actually overlap by a little bit, but they'll have that outside in the amphitheater afterwards. Stick around. We went over there last week, like you said, and your first time over there, and I'm telling you, Quack was blown away with that place. And you had the same reaction I did. Like, why haven't we been over here before? Well, we'll be back.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Can't
we
wait.
We also met a nice family up from Edisto, I believe.
Yeah.
And recognized us and spoke to them. That was nice.
Yeah, they said they're coming back on Thursday.
On Thursday.
That's right. All right. We're talking about, we've been talking about Vic Beasley, and we're talking about LSU. And the one of the things that has been interesting to follow this weekend is the idea that Lane Kiffin is just building his roster. He's just putting together a depth chart. Now, this is what I would say, okay? Can Daquan Wright help you? Yeah, he's been in the system. Had over 600 yards last year. They also have Tre'Davious Green, who is a cheat code. Now, because of injuries and inconsistency in the offense and all that stuff, I think he only had 22 catches last year, if I remember right. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Somewhere around 300 yards, 330, something like that. So, you know, maybe it's more of a weapon on paper than he is in practice. But I think Tre'Davious Green is a cheat code. That's your number one tight end. Is he coming in to be the backup to Tre'Davious Green? Do you need a backup to Tre'Davious Green that desperately as your number two tight end? That you're calling up pro organizations to inquire about players? See, here's what I don't understand. And for it's not even worth arguing with LSU. It's like arguing with Ole Miss fans about tampering. It's not even worth it. They're going to argue something different. They're going to take it outside of the realm of logic. It's not even really worth engaging, okay? I thought the Ole Miss fans were dumb. Some of the LSU fan arguments for this are some of the dumbest things, okay? Just everyone with half a brain knows self-evidently what this is. The only people that are trying to convince you that it's not are LSU fans. And you know how I know the LSU fans understand that this probably is at least a gray area? Is because they have to bend over backwards convincing you that they weren't first. If it's fine, if it's all fine that this happened, then who cares who was first? We did it. But all my timeline is filled with LSU fans that are like, oh, well, it's not even a bad thing. We're not even the first ones that did it, all this stuff. How is that your defense exactly?
Also remember that we are sitting here in Clemson area saying how bad this is, but also offering suggestions of players that we should bring back.
Yes! Yes! You know the other thing? Texter said this is one another reason that fans will turn it off. I'm going to tell you what, I don't sense that at LSU. I don't think LSU fans feel worse about their football season today. I don't think they're less enthusiastic about their football season today.
Yeah, that's the crazy part of all this is that viewership was through the roof last year. I mean, through all this chaos, viewership was through the roof. It's going up, not down. So that's and the product was great as well. It just was. I almost wish it wasn't.
Right.
But it was.
There's a principle in the Bible. This will make sense in a second. Ben always looks at me like, what in the world is he going to say on this? There's a principle in the Bible where, and people will teach it, where like the Pharisees, the law keepers of the day, would essentially, they were so enthusiastic about following the rules, the over 600 laws in the Torah, that they would create further stipulations so that you didn't even get close. Building a fence around the law is what they called it. There are Clemson fans that were frustrated that they felt like Dabo was building a fence around the law. And that Clemson was falling behind because Clemson was unwilling to do some things. To live in the gray, to get a little bit muddy, to get in the way. That conversation we've had, that's not what this is. If Clemson did this, it would be something different entirely. Right? I mean, that's not like getting in bidding wars for recruits and contact stuff and whatever. Like, that's not the gray area stuff that people are like, man, we're getting killed because we just won't engage in this and this and this. That's not what this is, right? I mean, you would agree, this is a difference in kind to go to an NFL roster to bring in a guy, and I will add the caveats, at a position you don't need a person on the most expensive roster in the sport this year. Like, it's not as if LSU's going, golly, you know, we made a bet on these freshmen and they've not worked out, or, you know, we swung and missed on these couple transfers, they didn't work out. That really is the part that boggles my mind on this. It's like Lane Kiffin is doing this out of luxury. He's just doing it because he doesn't feel threatened. All the stuff that we talk, oh, well, coaches don't want to get fired, so they always operate like their backs against the wall. How? How does that apply here? He just got hired. They're going to throw him a parade. They're going to ride him in on a white horse game one. That environment's going to be crazy. He has nothing to worry about near-term and long-term at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But he did this anyway. All of the excuses people make for coaches, oh, well, they're just paranoid. They, you know, oh, it's allowed. You got to do it to survive. That's not what happened here with LSU.
You're hearing other coaches make comments. It's more for the sake of the game, you know, the Ryan Days and Rhett Lashley talked about this from the standpoint of what's good for the game. And that's a bit new from what we have seen, because everybody's thinking about themselves. Now, from Lane Kiffin's standpoint, though, he's going to argue, and I can kind of understand this. Look, you pay me to put together a roster. I had an opportunity to legally make us better, to make us better through legal channels, air quotes, whatever legal is, and I took it. I did what you pay me to do. You pay me to put together the best roster I can and to coach them. And I had this opportunity. The courts are allowing it. Why wouldn't I?
I don't disagree with that. I don't. There is nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that argumentation. Not a bit. Except for the morality, and right. I'm going to call it morality, of what's good for the game. Notice Ryan Day said 100 words about how it's bad for the game, but he said we have to do right for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That's why not having a commissioner, not really having anybody in charge anywhere that isn't directly self-interested, to the dismay of fans of other leagues, teams, whatever, is a bad thing now.
Marcus Freeman was asked about this last week by a reporter, if he would consider bringing anybody back. And he said, 2 weeks before the first game, and are you sitting down for this? He said, classes start Monday.
Wait, what? Trade it. Wait a minute. Daquan Wright's not going to class?
Well.
He's going to be on that Lenora Sellers plan. Get that man an internship. He's not going to class.
Yeah, so Marcus Freeman probably had the best, you know, response to anybody has to this.
And you know what? Good for him. His roster's set. He's got a good roster, a really good roster. I totally understand the urge that Ryan Day has to, like, hey, man, if LSU's going to do it, we have to look at it. Remember, Brad Brownell said that about the international, bringing in, you know, 22-year-old international kids. Hey, man, we got to look at it. I hadn't done it. Hey, we gotta look at it. We gotta at least give lip service to this thing. We got to consider this, because Lane Kiffin's job, as I said, is to win. Now, again, like, if somebody if Mike Norvell did this at Florida State, you would go, that's a desperate move. Look at him being desperate. What is Lane Kiffin's excuse? He's not desperate. They don't have to win this year. He's got the most expensive roster already in the sport. If a first-year coach did it at a school, like Oklahoma State, Eric Morris, okay. If Mississippi State did it, all right. Heck, Beamer got a fifth year last week, and I think most people were like, hey, man, you got to get to a bowl somehow. There is a little bit of this that's like, you're just doing this just to do it, aren't you? Like, you already have potentially a first-team all-conference player at that position, and you are bringing in the Cleveland Browns' third-string tight end in that position. That's, again, another side of this I just don't understand. We'll go to Tim in Simpsonville's phone call. We got to talk about Deshaun Watson, man. Unbelievable. Hour 3 is next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 15. 15-